Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Today we do the last two ahadith that complete this chapter. We see how many different ahadith Hazrat Imam Nawawi Rahmatullahi has brought under this chapter, showing us this is a very serious thing, this aspect of zulam, harming, oppressing someone, whether the person be a Muslim, whether he be a non-Muslim, doesn't matter who he is, but the fact that we are oppressing somebody is a serious thing. So therefore he brought so many different ahadith to impress upon us that the zulam, this oppression, is something that is very serious. And as we mentioned the definition, وَضْعُ الشَّيْءِ فِي غَيْرِ مَحَلِّ, that to place something and to put something in a place where it doesn't belong. That is the definition of zulam. For example, just to recap, that a person, he uses vulgar words against somebody who doesn't deserve to hear that vulgar words that he's using. So he swears the person, he calls the person all sorts of names. Now those words that are coming out of his mouth are going in a place that he doesn't belong. He's going into somebody else's ears. It doesn't belong into that person's ears. So like that, if a person hits someone else, he causes harm to someone, now that person doesn't deserve his harm. So he's putting that harm or that hurt or that pain at a place where it doesn't belong. Like that, if he steals something from someone, he's taking that item of that person and he's putting it in his own possession. It doesn't belong in his possession. He's taking something that doesn't belong in his possession. He's putting it in his possession. So like this, it can extend to so many different things. Sometimes a person is causing zulam, is causing oppression, maybe psychological oppression. So that person doesn't deserve that psychological stress. And now one person is causing that another person some type of extortion, some type of psychological stress. Sometimes the person is dealing with public affairs in a public position, whether it's public money, whether it's public treasury, whether it's public administration, whatever it is, he's supposed to be putting his efforts to empower the public, to help and assist the public, but this person is assisting his own self. So there again, he's using the skill, he's using the facilities, he's using the position to put things in the wrong place. So here we see how wide this definition of zulam is. So zulam is something that we have to be very, very careful of. Actually, this heart and this life and these opportunities that Allah Ta'ala has given us is here so that we can create our akhirat, is there so we can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can help people, assist people, be of benefit to people, rather than using this in the wrong manner. So anyway, the last two ahadith, and Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَيَزَالُ الْمُؤْمِنُ فِي فُسْحَةٍ مِّن دِينِهِ مَا لَمْ يُصِبْ دَمًا حَرَامًا رواه البخاري. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a believer will continue experiencing comfort in his deen as long as he does not shed unlawful blood. A believer will continue to experience comfort in his deen so long as he does not shed unlawful blood. Ulama explain what does it mean by comfort here. It means Allah Ta'ala will give him the tawfiq of doing good actions, or this person will continue to receive the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously in his deen so long as he does not shed unlawful blood. In other words, so long as this person doesn't harm somebody, he doesn't take the life away of someone unlawfully. So then the person, so here is teaching us, telling us that this aspect of murder and killing is such a serious thing that once a person does it, then continuously this person will be in wadis, continuously he'll be in parishan because of this action that he has done. So therefore a person shouldn't go anything close to murder. Another hadith, an Khawlata binti Amir al-Ansariya wa hiya imratu Hamza رضي الله عنه وعنها قالت سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن رجالا يتخوضون في مال الله بغير حق فلهم النار يوم القيامة رواه البخاري. هذه خولة بنت عامر الأنصارية رضي الله تعالى عنها. She was the wife of Hazrat Hamza رضي الله عنه. So she narrates that I heard Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying that those who act wrongfully in acquiring the wealth of Allah, those who act wrongfully in acquiring the wealth of Allah, in other words, those that steal other people's wealth, those that take away unlawfully other people's wealth, whether it's white-collar crime or blue-collar crime or whatever crime it is, but he's taking someone else's wealth away unlawfully. So she says that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that those who act wrongly, unlawfully in acquiring the wealth of Allah Ta'ala will find themselves in Jahannam on the day of Qiyamah. Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi ends the chapter with this hadith, such a serious thing, that the person in this dunya is taking away unlawfully people's wealth, he will find himself in where? On the day of Qiyamah, he will find himself in Jahannam on the day of Qiyamah. Now when Akhirat is something that is a reality for someone, it's as though it is there 100%, he can see it, he can believe it, he believes in it. So when he hears this type of hadith, he says, I want to stay away completely from anything that is doubtful. I don't want to take anybody's wealth away, even by mistake. He's so careful that he doesn't do anything. We mentioned that incident of Hazrat Maulana Yunusab, Rahmatullah Ali, that incident of how he corrected one person, one friend of his, one alim, who was just going downstairs to take water from the masjid when he was living upstairs. Immediately he corrected him. So when Akhirat is in front of a person, then these things become a reality. He'll even be careful of water that he drinks, yet technically it would have been permissible to drink that water, because the person who donated wouldn't have minded at all that somebody is coming down to the masjid and drinking. But yet to correct, to bring that habit, that you don't take something that doesn't belong into another place, don't bring it there into another place. And not only another place also, even in another time, that incident where the Maulana had come back late when his satis, they went somewhere on a safar, on a journey, and they came back late, then he used the masjid facilities. He said, take this money, put it in the box, because we didn't use the masjid lights and water in the normal time. We used it later than the normal time, so we took personal benefit from masjid property, so therefore we must repay it by putting some money in the box. Recently I was so happy to find, or surprised to even find, that fuqaha mentioned this in the kitabs also, that if the masjid facilities are used after one third of the night have passed, then you have actually used it outside the time, then you shouldn't be using the masjid lights and the masjid water. Ideally you should be using your own, because you use it after one third of the night has passed, which is normally the adat of when that facility is being used. So therefore all these things are mentioned in our deen. So when a person is so careful of these, as we'll term them, petty things, then how much more careful he becomes when it comes to other people's wealth, other people's property. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.